This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 24 من شهر ذي الحجة 1445 الموافق لواحد من شهر جولاي 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك أشراط الساعة أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لي المؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah we continue from where we stopped last week, and last week we stopped at the place where the mu'allif is bringing series of information given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that information reached us through our heart, and almost everyone accepted it amongst Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because we don't care about others because they have their own approach and we have ours. But we are now trying to reply our people from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah who might be believing that khabarul ahad la yufidu al-ilm. You get it? So he says there are several activities which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, and the information reached us through ahad, and everyone accepts them. If they are, certain in what they are saying, they should also reject these ones. But none of them is doing so. None of them is doing so. So we understand from this that, yes, they are not consistent also in their own belief and approaches. So he mentioned afdhaliyatu nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam shafa'atuhu al-uzma shafa'atuhu li ahli al-kaba'ir min ummatihi, and all the way to number 8 when he talks about the sirat. He talks about the sirat. There's a bridge that we mentioned, which inshallah the detail about this bridge will come in the future. Wal hawd, and this is the pond given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You get it? Whether it is Kawthar or not Kawthar is Aqidah matter amongst the scholars. You know, whether it is Al-Kawthar or there is another place called Al-Hawd, the pond, apart from the river of the Kawthar, you get, will be drinking from this blessed, river given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wal-Mizan, Dhul-Kifatayni, and also the Mizan. Mizan is a scale. Yeah, the scale. And it has kifatan. Kifatan, the old mizan, we call this the thing you put the thing, to maintain the balance, kifa. Two hands of the mizan. So the mizan in the qiyam also has this. And it has two. Yeah. And this is one of the moments where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person will not be able to, think about anything. Yeah. Until he knows which part of the mizan is going to be heavier, And who is going to be placed on the mizan? Or what is going to be placed on the mizan? There are some, it's aqidah matter also, because some rejected mizan, actually. Yeah, because they said, actions, mizan is going to be used to weigh the action. But Adam, where's your action? You don't see it. How can you weigh something that doesn't have a mass? You don't even see it. It's an abstract. Yeah, so that's the result of using akal, But when you go to the grave, after the questions have been done, the angels left. What next? Because when they leave, they will put they will expand your grave as far as you can see. It will be big house as far as your eyes can see. Yeah, we see it, a normal grave, because this is not within our dimension. Our eyes cannot capture that. However, it is madd al-basar. Madd al-basar means as far as you can see. That's for the believers. Everyone, if he passed the test, is going to get this. And subhanAllah. And it's not just a clay. No, that's, you pass that level. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will command them to put the carpet from Jannah in your grave. Allahu Akbar. So you are being, you're going to be receiving also the ni'mah of the Jannah before you reach there. And then what next after this? You're going to be alone in the grave, right? And although that alam also, you have visitation, you visit, there is a place where they gather, the arwah, they talk to each other. You know, subhanAllah, life, completes life in its own nature. And at the same time, so that you will not live alone in that place, Allah will send a very handsome person to your grave. And then he will come, you know, bright face, you know, nur, yatla min wajhi. See, the face is having light, you know. And then he will say salam to you. And then you will reply the salam to him and tell him, man ant? Fawajhuka wajhun yaji'u bi khair. You will tell him, oh, this is a very nice face that brings good news. Subhanallah. And then he will tell you, ana amaluka salih. I'm your righteous deed. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if we say it is not going to be turned into this, wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. So we believe that, yes, there is mizan, and the amal are going to be weighed. What else? A person himself also is going to be placed on the mizan according to the best opinion of the scholars. Yeah, this is good, actually, to take this opinion of the scholars that says even a person himself, the sinner or the doer of good, will be placed on the mizan so that you will monitor your income, right? And now, because kullu jismin nabata min suhtin fannaru awla bih. Everybody that is fed by haram money, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fire is the most deserving place for it. Fire is the most deserving place for it. Subhanallah. So it's good to know these type of things so that you can monitor your income. Where are you getting your money? How do you spend it? You know, so that your body will not eat haram, and when you go to the mizan, it will contribute to making the haram side bigger. Waliyadhu billah. May Allah protect us. So mizan also, the hadith of the mizan came to us through Ahad. And they accept those ones. Why did they accept it? If khabar al-ahad la yufid al-ilm, why didn't they reject this also? They did not. Number 9, al-imanu bi anna Allah ta'ala kataba ala kulli insanin sa'adatahu wa shaqawatahu. Believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written upon every human being is success or failure in this life. We know this, right? Hadith of? That's a very famous hadith. I guess by now you memorize it. Even your children should be memorizing it. Huh? I know, I say hadith man. I'm not looking for the hadith. No, hadith Jibreel. Abdullah ibn, yeah, doubtful. Yeah, but the vast majority of your thought goes to Ibn Mas'ud. Yes, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batn ummihi 40 yawman nutfa. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud mentioned that after the soul has been given to the fetus in the womb, the child in the womb, and then Allah will ask the angel to write 4 things, right? One of them is shaqiyun aw sa'idun. What kind of a person is he going to be in terms of righteousness or evil doing? Everything has been detailed. Question. So why are we in the class now studying? If I ask you, Mazin, why are you studying? To get reward, right? To get knowledge and to get reward and to be a better person in the eyes of Allah. But your place has been written, inshallah, in Jannah, bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla, right? And any one of us, his place in Jannah has been written. And others who don't want to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their place in hell have been written. inshallah, we will never be in hell, bi-iznillah azza wa jal. Why do we come and study, you know, if this is the case? Everything has been written. And every single person is moving towards that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for him. Nobody can escape this. Yeah. That's the confusion that some people have, and up to date also they still have this confusion. However, there shouldn't be any confusion. Yeah, if you look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you apply a concept or a statement that I have quoted to you from Ali ibn al-Madini, al-Babu, إِذَا لَمْ يَجْمَعْ طُرُقُهُ. Why is your dictionary? See, you left it at home. Al-Babu, إِذَا لَمْ يَجْمَعْ طُرُقُهُ لَمْ يَتَبَيَّنْ خَطَأُهُ. I know. They have to check the dictionary. Alhamdulillah, we still have dictionaries to get as what we wrote earlier. So he says, any topic that you want to understand, as long as you don't combine all the nusus that talk about that topic, you will never be able to get the mistake that exists in that topic. And to come up with an excellent opinion, very strong and concrete opinion, it is not going to be easy. You have to gather all the hadith and the nusus, you know, and put them together in one place and study them. Then you will be able to come up with the correct opinion. Get it? So if we do this, then that ishkal will be gone. Why are we praying? Why are we fasting? Why are we doing all of these things? Isn't it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written everything? And you get it? And everything is jarin ala ma qadahu Allah. Alama qadahullah. Everything is moving, you know, based on that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed. Get it? That is a hadith apart from this hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Because Abdullah ibn Mas'ud hadith says at the last part of it, he says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاءٌ فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ كِتَابُهُ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلَهَا. You see, one of you will be doing things according to the actions and the deeds of the people of Jannah. Until there is nothing left for him, you know, to get inside Jannah except zira, you know. Just this, and you were talking about one step, you know, for him to get inside Jannah. فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ كِتَابُ. And then his book will supersede that which he has been doing. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلَهَا. He will be doing something that can take him to hell at that moment, and then he will go to hell. There is another hadith also that says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picked up, you know, with his hand, blessed hand, a mount of people among his creation. And then he showed them to the angels. He says, هَذِهِ إِلَى النَّارِ وَلَا أُبَالِي. He said, these are going to hell. وَلَا أُبَالِي, I don't care. And then he picked up another one. And then he said, these are going to Jannah. And وَلَا أُبَالِي, he said, I don't care. Show them to the angels, and he said, I don't care. So if you look at these ones, you will be confused. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Subhanallah, when you look into the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, put them together, you will understand one thing. First of all, this decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his qadha, when was it written? Before or after or within the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is creating the creation? When was it written? Before, 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. We're not even talking about human beings. Before the creation of the heavens and the earth, 50,000 years, this had been written. So basically, what was it written? The knowledge of Rabbul Alameen about the choices of each and every one of us. If you understand this, then the case closed. So what was written was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written the choices of each and every one of us because He created us with free will to choose what we want to do. Because if you are to say that we don't have free will to choose what we want to do, that would be ridiculous. What is the point of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending 124,000 prophets and messengers to us. Why is he sending them? If we are forced to do what we are doing, then what is the point of sending Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come and suffer, and you know, people are fighting him, persecuting him, and all of these things, you know, he has gone through, subhanAllah. What is the point of having all of these things? Then you will understand that yes, we do have a choice to say no and to say yes. What is the point of asking you to pray if you have no control over your actions? That's one of the most ridiculous, you know, subhanAllah. Beyond the realm of the ridiculous, actually, is the aqidah of Al-Jabriyah. Those that say that, you know, now we sit in the class, right? We sit in the class, in the dars, you know. Surah, my sajatara whole, call it whatever you want. Why are you here? How did you come to this place? Al-Jabri, somebody who is having this aqidah will tell you, no, you also don't know. You just found yourself in this place. Right? Somebody can come and hit Ihsan. And then his son got mad at him. I'm going to hit you, but why did he hit me? The man would say, no, I did not know. My hand just went by itself. Ihsan should be smart also and hit him back and tell him, Allah, also my hands went by itself. I did not know. Imagine a life like this. Allah, kids and children, you know, below the age of maturity, when they hear this, they will find it so strange. That we don't have control over our actions. And if we believe in this, you can imagine how much corruption we are introducing on earth. So what is written is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about our choices. Qadr has pillars, right? What are the pillars of Qadr? Ya salam. What are the pillars of Qadr? You forgot. Shall we just close this book and go back to Arkan al-Iman? You should come to our class in Arkan al-Iman, you know. Yeah. Okay, alhamdulillah. We have people from behind the screen. Actually, I think we should switch, you know, those people from... Oh, they're using Google? So people behind the screen, people here face to face, they have doubt in your shahada. So who shall we trust? They're behind the screen, but at least they use Google. So why can't you use Google here, Adam? Oh, because we can detect it. Anyway, so we have four pillars, right? Number one is knowledge. Yeah, al-ilm. That's the pillar number one, al-ilm. Number two, al-kitaba, writing. Yeah, I know you're going to forget later on also. I will ask the same answer will be given to me. People will be surprised, what is he talking about? Anyway, so al-ilmu, that's number one. Al-kitaba, that's number two, writing. Number three, al-mashi'ah. And number four, al-khalq. And these are the pillars of qadr. Whenever you see scholars talking about the qadr, qadr contain these pillars. Al-ilmu, wal-kitaba, wal-mashi'ah, wal-khalq. Knowledge comes first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything jumlatan wa tafsila. What does jumlatan mean? Everything. Just say everything. With no exception. With no exception. Iwallah, simple, tiny details about every single person's life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Iwallah. His knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazing, 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 amazing. That's why he says, وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Not even knowing, no. Everything has been written in the Lawhul Mahfuz. Subhanallah. One of the most amazing things that you will be willing to see is this Lawhul Mahfuz. How is it? What is it exactly? SubhanAllah. It contains every single detail, tiny details about every single movement that somebody is making in this dunya. Not human beings, not angels alone, not jinns, insects, birds and fish and everything. There is nothing that is taking place in this life except that it is 100% documented, well documented in that place. So jumlatan wa tafsila. Tafsila means the details of each and every thing specifically. This, the name is this, and it's going to happen in this way. That's why he says, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. The leaf from the tree that you see sometimes falls down, right? Why is it falling down? You can give your own scientific explanation and all of these things, but subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his knowledge, which is the only accurate one. Why is it falling down? When is it going to fall down? Where is it going to fall down? How is it going to fall down? What happened to it after it fell down? Every single detail about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin tibaqan, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin wa min al-ardi mithlahunna. He created seven heavens and also from the earth similar to that in number. يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنْ. The wahi, commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming between the heavens and the earth. SubhanAllah. Allah says, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. This information that is passed to us so that we will firmly believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power and ability to do everything. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge encompasses everything. Iwallah. That's jumlatan, right? أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. That's the knowledge. So he knows everything. The creation, who is going to exist, and when is it going to exist, and how is it going to exist? Yeah. Things you know and things you don't know, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. After the knowledge, then the marhalatul thaniya comes, the second stage, which is the writing. Yeah. That knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wrote it down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first thing that was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the pen, right? And he says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen, قَالَ لَهُ اكْتُبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the pen, اكْتُبْ, write. So the pen says, Ya Allah, هُمَا اكْتُبْ. What should I write? Like you can see the power, right? This is just pen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. That's why the scholar said, you see the jamaat, right? This one is jamaat. Jamaat means non-living thing, right? Something that doesn't have a life. That's to us. Yeah, that's to us. To Rabbul Alameen, this is not jamaat. Allah can speak to this and will reply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. To us is jamaat, but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not jamaat. Can speak to everything and they will reply him. Real reply, not majaz, no, haqiqatan. Yeah. Not majaz, haqiqatan. They can reply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he created the pen and he told the pen, write. And the pen is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it says, Ya Allah, what should I write? Allah told the pen, write what happened. Ma kana. Wa ma sayakun. وَمَا لَوْ كَانَ كَيْفَ يَكُونَ. He says, write what happened and what will happen in the future and what is happening right now. And the thing that will take place in the future, how exactly are they going to happen? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَجَارَ الْقَلَمُ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. The pen from that moment wrote everything that will take place until the day of judgment, including our class and our speeches, and everything that will happen until the day of judgment. Question. What about after the day of judgment? Because he says, جَرَى الْقَلَمُ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يُمِ الْقِيَمَةِ, until the day of judgment. So what about after the day of judgment? Is it going to be another writing or after the day of judgment? After the day of judgment, we have another pen to come and write, or that pen will initiate a new page for that which will happen after the day of judgment. Yeah, somebody says it's continuous. Yeah, but what is the evidence that this writing? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith says, "Ila al-abad." I'm sorry, he says, "Ila yawm al-qiyamah." Is there any evidence to support that the writing is continuous until after the day of judgment? even if the pillar you fail, for sure you're going to fail in this. So let me just say, help you with the evidence. Yes, the one who says it's continuous is right. It is continuous. Because we got another narration. You remember that statement of Ibn al-Madini? Al-Babu idha lam tajma'a turuquhu lam yatabayyan khata'uhu. So when we search again, we found a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I'm not mistaken, from Tirmizi or one of the Sunan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَجَرَ الْقَلَمُ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى الْأَبَدِ. And the pen wrote that which will happen إِلَى الْأَبَدِ. What is abad? Forever. Yeah. So that means non-stop. Yeah. That's why right now there are pen writing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he went to the Isra wal Miraj when Jibreel took him to that place. And Jibreel told him, Ya Muhammad, هذا مقامي مات رحمه الله. So Jibreel told him, Ya Muhammad, هذا مقامي. This is the last place I can reach. SubhanAllah. You can see how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He reached the place. Even the people of that territory, they cannot go to that place. Jibreel told him, he said, Ya Muhammad, هذا مقامي. This is the last place I can reach. And then he said, you have to proceed alone. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted me up to the place where I can hear the sounds of the pens writing the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the wahi and he spoke to him. He did not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the best opinion, but Allah spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that place. So then you make the comparison between how Allah speak to Musa alayhi salam and how did he speak to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How Allah spoke to Musa and how did he speak? Which one is better? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's one is in the heavens, in a place where even Jibreel couldn't make it to that place. Musa was in Tur Sina, right? In that place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to Musa alayhi salam. You get it? So, إِلَى الْأَبَدِ until no end. So everything has been written. And this is the reason why actually we talk about this matter. So you see, we talk about knowledge, right? What was it written? The knowledge, because the scholar said this is the order of the pillars of the Qadr, knowledge comes first. It is always with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Writing is the one that takes place at the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. You get it? But knowledge is always with Allah. This is sifa dhatiya lillahi azza wa jal. Azaliya dhatiya lillah. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was no time when Allah doesn't have knowledge. None whatsoever. That's why you cannot call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arif. You can call him al-alim, but not al-arif. Why al-arif is wrong? Arif means the one who knows, right? Why can't we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-arif? We have to say al-alim, but al-arif is wrong. Why?
Alim contains past, present, and future. Arif contains only present and future. So present, may not future.
No. No. You can describe somebody, you know, who is been told about these things. That's arif. You tell him what happened in the past, you tell him what happened right now, you told him what will happen in the future. It's arif. I like your answers, Hamad, because they are incorrect.
Because Allah never had to learn.
Good, Adam, excellent. Because they said ma'rifah usually comes out of, after ignorance. It's ma'rifah. Knowledge can be dhati. Just like that, yeah? Knowledge can be shay dhati. That's why the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sifa dhatiya lillahi azza wa jalla. Never lost knowledge. Always, knows everything. That knowledge is always with him. There will be no time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know. That's why he said, la yadhillu rabbi wala yansa. So knowledge comes first, and that knowledge was written by the pen. You get it? the one that Allah wants to ask him to write about things which will happen. For sure, the pen is not writing everything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, about what will happen in the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be creating. Yeah. These are dimensions of the knowledge. Otherwise, knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody can, you know, encompass this knowledge and information about Rabbul Alameen. You know. قُلْ وَأَنَّمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٌ وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. If you have the ocean, you turn it into ink, multiply it by seven, you know, and take all the trees and turn the branches into what? Into pens, and write about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pen will get dry, the ink will finish, but the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still there. It's like you haven't scratched anything. Allahu Akbar. So knowledge and then kitabah. What next? And then mashia. And you know what is mashia, right? The will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put things into action. Yeah. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sahibul mashia. Get it? Because nothing can happen except idha sha'ahu Allah. Why is it like that? Because this is his kingdom. He owns everything. That's why according to our aqidah, At-Tahawi says, لا يكون في ملكه ما لا يريد. There is no way for you to have in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not let it happen. Okay, look at my choice of words. Did not let it happen. Because of his irada, he wants it to happen in that way. And there is a wisdom behind it. Whether he loves it or he doesn't like it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it or he doesn't love it, that is wisdom behind everything. But to have something which is taking place and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know it and he doesn't let it happen in that way, wallahi, uqsimu billah, there is no way for it to take place in this way. All of these aqaid that are saying that is something which is taking place and Allah doesn't know it, is a useless aqaid. False, kadhib. وَافْتِرَعُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ and causing, I mean, attributing deficiency to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because qadariyya, they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't know what we are doing. Until we do. You get it? That's useless, you know. And this is their approach to the Mu'tazila, وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking that they are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time, they are attributing deficiency to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? So the Mashi'a and Irada, these are two different things, but in terms of wording, but if you see the way the scholars are looking at them, the differences between this and the other one is very subtle, if it does exist. You get it? Mashi'a and Irada, so we have Irada, Kawniya, and we have Mashi'a, Kawniya, or Irada, Kawniya, Mashi'a, Kawniya, and we have the second one is, Mashi'a shar'iyya or irada shar'iyya. These are the two types of mashi'a or irada we have attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the definition between, what is the difference between the kawniyya and qadariyya? Please, you have to succeed. Okay, Adam passed one test, but I need two questions to be answered. You got number one. Number two is, what is the difference between mashi'a kawniyya and mashi'a shar'iyya? So you never expect in this class there will be questions being asked. So everyone just relax. Huh? Take the back seat and relax. Huh? At least, you know, the people behind the screen, and Adam will say they're most likely Google-oriented kind of people. But I think the speed they have in answering the question suggests that these are information from the from the brain, you know, not AI, not what is the other one? ChatGPT something. I don't like that name, but anyway, this is the. Anyway, so the difference. Thanks to those who are sharing, and thanks to those who are silent also. Yeah, so that they will not protest. Anyway, they said Mashi'a Kauniya is anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed to happen. And it must happen. Okay, you see, he decreed that he wants it to happen and it has to take place. It must take place. You get it? But it doesn't necessarily mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the thing. It might be something that he likes or something that he doesn't like. But nothing can stop it. Whereas the Mashi'a Shari'iyya is the opposite. Something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, he wants it to happen. But it might happen, it might not happen. But it has to be something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. That's why it is related to the Sharia. Awamir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to obey him. Right? Salam. He wants us to obey him. Is everyone amongst the human beings obeying Allah? No. So it might take place, it might not take place. Wallahu azza wa jalla, he wants to forgive us. But is everyone amongst the human beings repenting? No. You get it? So Allah loves the repentance and he wants it. The irada is there. The forgiveness is there, but not everyone qualifies because we don't do what qualifies us to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for Mashi'a Kauniya, nobody can stop it. But it might be something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like. You get it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتُ وَلَكِنْ اخْتَلَفُوا فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنُوا مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرُ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Subhanallah. Allah says, if Allah wish, those people who are fighting each other amongst the Muslims, they will never fight each other. After receiving all the evidences and the bayina, the details, whatever they need, they got everything. But they are not fighting each other. Allah says, وَلَكِنْ اخْتَلَفُوا فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنُوا مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرُ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. If Allah wants, they will never fight. But you should know that Allah SWT is the doer of whatever he wants. This is, which Mashiach is this? Kauniya or Sharia? Kauniya. And now, he doesn't like to see the fighting taking place, like the battle between Ali and Muawiyah. It happened, right? Yeah. Is it good? No, it's not. Yeah. At all is not. It's evil that happens in this ummah. Yeah. It took place. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُوا مَا يُرِيدُ. Like the battle between Abdullah ibn Zubayr and Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf in the time of Yazid. You get it? That battle that happened, is it something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves? No. But it happened. Can we avoid it? No, because it's Mashi'a Kauniya. How do you know it's Mashi'a Kauniya? Because it took place. And we check in the Nusus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like this, to see Muslim fighting Muslim. Because Mashi'a Shari'iyya has to be something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And there we go. Many, many, many battles that happens in the Muslim communities, which, you know, cause a lot of tragedy to the Muslim community. Those ones, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished, they would never happen. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. And the last one is the khalq. So after the Mashiach, Allah wants to see the creation taking place. So and then the action will happen. So you can see the way they put them, right? Knowledge, writing of that knowledge, willing, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put that knowledge into action, and then the creation will come after that. Is that clear, inshallah? So these are the pillars of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So back to that knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows everything, jumlatan wa tafsila. Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin wa min al-ardi mithlahunna yatanazzalu al-amru baynahunna lita'alamu anna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir wa anna Allah qad ahata bi kulli shay'in ilma. So let's solve the puzzle about why are we doing what we're doing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show mercy upon us, and also the correct understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picking up from hell, from people, and sending them to hell, and some of them sending them to Jannah. And in this hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person might be almost reaching paradise, and then he would do something that would take him to hell. You get it? So all together, if we put them and get some other nusus, everything is going to be clear. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said when they reported that person, Quzman, some said he was a munafiq, because he wasn't a Muslim, Wallahu alam, bihalihi, but he was fighting with the companions. Quzman, you know, his name, you know, he was fighting during the Battle of Uhud, you know, and he was teaching the enemies a lesson, good lesson. So the companions were so happy to see a person like this. So they see him as somebody who will be going to Jannah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, he is going to hell. And then one of the companions followed him. You know, they followed him. After the battle, he was badly injured. Yeah, because no matter how much strong you are, how much skills you have in the battle of that nature, it's hardly for a person to come out, you know, peacefully. That's why they said the body of Khalid bin Walid, almost every part of his body, there is some injury in that place. You know. How many battles he said he went? Around 90 battles or more. And where did he die? On his bed. That's why he said, فَهَا أَنَا أَمُوتُ كَمَا تَمُوتُ الْإِبِلِ. He said, I went through so many battles. People used to believe that if Khalid is there, khalas, the game is over. Yeah, that's why Umar is not happy with this kind of feeling. That it's like Khalid is the source of the victory. No, it's not. But Khalid, without Khalid, they will win. Yeah. Even angels, you know, who the power of Khalid and his ability and his skills cannot be compared to that, to the power and skills. But even the angels, when they came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he says, وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَىٰ لَكُمْ وَلْتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he did not make this, you know, to tell you about the angels, except just to give you good news, and also to give you comfort before you fight. Yeah, because if you know that angels are next to you, fighting with you, of course you will be so happy. You think you will have the courage to go and fight because you believe that inshallah victory is on your side. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. He said, the victory is not because of the angels. If he wants, even with the angels, you guys will fail. You get it? So Khalid bin Walid died on his bed. He says, فَهَا أَنَا أَمُوتُ كَمَا تَمُوتِ الْإِبِلِ. He said, here's Khalid, after all of those struggles and battles, he says, I am dying just like the way a camel is dying in their resting places. He says, فَلَا نَمَتْ أَعْيُنُ الْجُبَنَا. He says, Ya Allah, don't let those coward people sleep in their life. Because participating in the battle doesn't necessarily mean death. Yeah, there is a time which is fixed to a person. Yeah, and you will not die until you reach that moment. Right? They found somebody after the earthquake, 8 hours after the earthquake, under the rubbles, and they brought him alive. Yeah. All of his family members died. Karamakumullah, if I'm not mistaken, he said he used to feed them urine to survive. There is no water under the ground. Whatever he can have enough water to survive, they died, all of them. So he survived 8 hours later. Yeah, because his time is not up. I heard about an aeroplane that crashes, everyone is gone except a 2-year-old baby. Qadar, you know. Yani, if it is based on our calculation, who should die first? That baby should die long ago before any, but his time is not yet, you know, it's not due. Yeah. You know, if we understand, we always forget this, all of us, you know. But if you understand this, then you relax, you know. أُطْلُبُ الْمَوْتَ تُهَبُ لَكُمُ الْحَيَةِ. Ali bin Abi Talib said, look for death, life will be given to you. It doesn't mean take weapon and go and fight and like that, you know. No, relax, because death is going to come. You cannot avoid it, so just relax. No matter how much you try to avoid it, it doesn't work, you're just wasting your time. The time Allah wanted, it will come. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيِّدَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So that's what Khalid is referring to. He says, those coward people, may Allah not let them sleep in their life. So that person, after he got injured, what did he do? He went to a place, he took his sword, he cannot be patient, you know, he took his sword and fixed it to the ground and fell on it and killed himself. What did he do?
Suicide.
And in Islam, when somebody commits suicide, where does he go? Hell. The Prophet ﷺ said, خَالِدًا مُخَلِّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Whoever killed himself with a knife will go to hell, given the same knife to stab himself with it in hell forever and ever. He said, خَالِدًا مُخَلِّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Forever, you remain in that place. So they told the Prophet ﷺ about this. And subhanAllah, look at what Rasulullah ﷺ said after they informed him about what happened to that person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna ahadakum." You see, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, also some part of it comes here. More explanation are given to us here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna ahadakum layamalu bi'amali ahli al-jannah fima yabdu lin-nasi." Allah. "Wa inna ahadakum layamalu bi'amali ahli al-nar fima yabdu lin-nasi." A person might be, you know, acting, you know, according to what we see. We see, mashallah, a righteous person, but realistically between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is something else. That's why I really advise all of us, wallahi, we have to be very careful. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you should be very careful when dealing with him, wallahi, we have to be very careful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to be very careful when dealing with him. This life is not a joke. Whatever you're doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned all of those ahadiths, so to us they are fact. The conclusion made by Ibn Rajab is very excellent and perfect. He says, wallahi, and the same goes to our Shaykh also, Ibn Uthaymeen. He says, wallahi, there is no way for this to happen because this is not the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't do this. To have a person who is righteous, doing everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him to do, very dedicated and sincere to Allah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disappoint him at the last minute. Allah doesn't do this. Allah doesn't do this to anyone. If you're righteous, you're going to complete your life bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, if you're patient in that righteousness. This is Rabbul Alameen that we know. The good Allah will reward you, will be with you at the last minute. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. I heard somebody that I shared with you with his story, that whenever prayer time arrives, he was a driver in one of the Saudi embassies, one of the countries. They say whenever prayer time arrives, even if the visitor to the embassy is a minister in Saudi came, you know. So these are his employers, right? And these are the people who are on top of him so much. But that old man, when the prayer time arrives, no matter how much hurry they are in, they said they have to stop. They said they have to stop. He has to pray. And they already know him. So everyone, somebody says he wants to pray. What can he do? So they submitted. Ministers and whoever, president, prime minister, king, whoever. When the prayer time arrives, he has to pray. If he's the driver. And subhanAllah, they said he died in sujood. SubhanAllah. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed his life with something that he loves so much according to what we see. Allah let him end his life in this way. That's why he said this jumlah, very interesting jumlah. He said, fafil jumlati. Okay, remember this word. Fafil jumlati al-khawatimu mirathu al-sawabik. He said, فَفِي الْجُمْلَةِ الْخَوَاتِيمُ مِيرَاثُ السَّوَابِقِ. فَفِي الْجُمْلَةِ الْخَوَاتِيمُ مِيرَاثُ السَّوَابِقِ. I'm saying it three times so that nobody will forget in the future. الْخَوَاتِيمُ مِيرَاثُ السَّوَابِقِ. What does that mean? It means the conclusion at the end of a person usually is a reflection of the past of that person. If the past is good, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ is good. This is going to be reflected when a person is dying. Yeah? That's why Allah sent angels to protect you, so that you will die in your iman, and go and get that excellent reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be honest in your life. Be serious. Be honest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sabr, be patient. Make sure whatever you do is the right thing. You will never lose the support. Allah promised us to give us pleasant life in this dunya, and in the akhirah He promised us to give us the best when we meet Him. So sabar, sabar, especially in this time of ours, really you need to be patient. Life is not easy, it's tough these days, especially when you want to attain your righteousness and steadfastness. You know, I really advise you to stick to that. You know, watch over your behavior, your manners, and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرِزْقُهُ وَأَجَلُ. And also, a hadith talk to us about the risk of a person. Sorry. How much you'll be receiving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much you get from Allah. Everything has been written. And you will never increase or decrease. You get it? Yeah. I cannot tell Ihsan, I'm going to close your risk. That's a joke. If Ihsan got annoyed, you know, and become depressed and sad, he is just disturbing himself. He will lie. Because the risk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for him, as long as it is his, he has to get it, whether I like it or I don't like it. Nobody can stop it. He will lie. That's why you have heard about people who lost their job. Allah grant them better. Better, way better. You know, we have stories of many people, they lost their job because of their attitude and good behavior. People pushed them out. They left to preserve their religion and to protect their honor and dignity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the best. You know. So always remember this, that rizq is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody controls it except Him. Look for the rizq from the one who owns it. Not from the one who is just a caretaker, an agent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using to take that risk to this person and that person. Get it? And لَا تَسْأَلَنَّ بُنَيَّ آدَمَ حَاجَةً وَسَلِ الَّذِي أَبْوَابُهُ لَا تُحْجَبُ. Don't you ever ask Ibn Adam anything. Ask the one that his doors are always open. And you cannot be blocked when going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللَّهُ يَقْضَبُ إِن تَرَكْتَ سُؤَالَهُ. Allah gets angry if you stop asking Him. وَبُنَيَّ آدَمُ أو بُنَيُّ آدَمَ حِينَ يُسْأَلُ يَغْضَبُ. And human beings, when you ask them, they get angry. SubhanAllah, look at the difference, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمْ دَاخِرِينَ. Yeah. You, Allah, you have Allah with you, you know? Always raise up your hand, don't be shy. And don't get bored. Keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. This topic is really amazing. But nobody senses it and feels it, you know, except somebody who is conscious. Heedless people never understand. Yeah. Wallahi, the feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is standing for us when we go back to Him and ask Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give. And you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is always asking you, what do you want? This feeling itself is enough to bring comfort to the life of a Muslim. And unfortunately, we lost this type of, you know, prestigious situations. And that's why we are depressed. Just like others who their nature is based on depression and stress. I'm referring to those who don't accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَجَلِ. And the time you will die. And if the time is not, if your time is not due, you will never die. Yeah? You will never die. I heard long ago one of the scholars was narrating a story of a person who fell from a 36th level 36 on there. He fell. You know, nobody thought this person can survive. You know, even a bit from level 4 in this, if you had to fall down, we should expect this person to lose his leg or his hand or some part of his body. 36. So he fell. So people were afraid of him dying, you know. But then subhanAllah, he came down peacefully. Peacefully. So everyone was happy. He also was happy. He doesn't know how does that happen. Peacefully. No injuries, no anything. Just like that. Rabbul Alameen. Allah made it in that way. Brought him down in that way. Right? So he told people, please wait here. Let's go and let me just get some drinks. We have to celebrate this moment. While he was crossing the road, a speeding car comes, hit him, and that's it. Gone. SubhanAllah, when I hear this, I said, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him from that place down, throw him out down, so that he can meet his ajal. Because if he's going to go to use the stairs, he might meet some people, say salam to them, delay, you know. If he used the lift also, the lift might have some problem. All of these things that you guys know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throw him from that place. Nobody can stop him. He reached that place on time. And from that place, he rushed to the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he did not have any injury. Otherwise, if he's injured, people might take him with the ambulance to the hospital. And Allah wants him to die at that place, you know. That's why the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written to a person to die, for a person to die, wallahi, he will never miss that place. If Allah says you will die in Malaysia, you will die in Malaysia. No matter how much you try to go out. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you will die in Saudi, you will die in Saudi. You will die in any of the Muslim countries. I don't want to use Kufar country. Any of the Muslim countries, you will die in that place. You Allah. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for you, you will never skip that place. So you can see how ajal is working, right? Yeah. So just relax. Worry about what comes after the ajal is due, you know. Yeah. Your worry should be about that. What will happen after I go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So all of these things have been written while a person is inside the womb of his mother. وَهُوَ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ. All of these have been written while a person is in the womb of his mother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and ability to be righteous people and to maintain our iman and patience and to meet him. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ جَمِيلٍ كَفِيلٍ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَرُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته No question. So shall we just close the class?
I think just one question came.
Any question from here?
Yes, sir. There's a question. Okay, Sheikh. Barakallahu feek. Wa ahsana ilayk fi dunya wal akhirah. Question by sister. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Sheikh, is this hadith valid? Al-aynu haqq, walau kana shay'in sabiqul qadr, sabaqathu al-ayn. Does it mean that the qadr can still be changed?
The hadith, to my knowledge, is authentic. And I guess this issue of the qadr and the dua and something changing the qadr, we have already talked about this. So something that have impact on the qadr, this is something that is also part of the qadr itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written that this person will be making dua, and because of this dua, that qadr is changed to another qadr. Both of them are qadr, and at the same time both are written. So if you look at the fact that both are written at the same time, then you will see qadr doesn't change. If you look at the fact that two qadr are written, one of them is the first one, the second one is based on the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this person is going to be making this and that, then you can say that qadr has been changed. But realistically, both are written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the second qadr will take place, not the first one. You know, that's why the best, we just focus on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do.
Okay, Sheikh, the next part of the question is, Sheikh, does Ayn affect a person even if the person is not showing off or doing anything, purely just because another person sees something good in him or her?
Yes, that's true. That's why I always make dua. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. In the morning, three times. In the evening, the same thing also. And also, a'udhu bi kalimatillahi tammat min kulli shaytanin wa أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. This is for you, for the kids. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من كل شيطان وهامة ومن كل عين لامة. In the morning and the evening. Inshallah, عين will not affect you. بإذن الواحد الأحد. Inshallah.
Okay, Sheikh. The second question by the sister. Sheikh, how can we understand the relation between the opinion that the pen is still writing and this hadith?
وأعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على لا ينفعك mostly in the part رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف.
No, it's inshallah we'll find time one day to study this this matter because we have qadr is of different types. You know, there's qadr al-hawli, al-kitab al-hawliya, the kitaba is less qadr. The kitaba, that is the one that comes yearly. Yeah, and even some scholars said that is yawmiya also. That is umuriya, based on the life of a person. You get it? So those ones are the, based on the life of the person. This one, rufiat al-aqlam wa jaffat al-suhuf. But the one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard, those ones are continuous writing. When are they going to stop? Wallahu a'lam. You get it? The one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about in Surah Dukhan, this is the one that is the kitabah that is taking place on the night of Qadr. There's a kitab al-hawliya, because every year it happens like this. So write and finish it. Everything has been decreed at that time. So this is how it works. There is no contradiction at all. These are different things. Finish?
That's it.
As-salamu alaykum.
Why was Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad not submitted to him?
To?
The Hud. The punishment?
The Had.
The Had, no.
Which case is that? I can't remember.
Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad.
No.
Didn't he rob people? Wasn't he
normal? Oh, so there you are referring to the history back. No, in Islam, if somebody repented, khalas. Government cannot go and say, oh, this after he repents, khalas. So what he does is to return back the right of others. Unless if there is a case of murder against him, that he murdered somebody, then this is the right. If those people forgive him, and then that's it. But he himself, he shouldn't submit himself to the government. He should just repent and close that page. If he has a right of somebody over him, he should go and pay that right. And that's it.
So while he was going from person to person and paying them back, if the government caught him before he had successfully paid back
everyone? They shouldn't do anything. Okay. Mm. The punishment is only applicable when the person is still doing the thing before the repentance. When he repented, his job is just to return the thing to the proper owners. He shouldn't tell the government, I'm the one who is doing this and that.
If a thief is caught, and let's say he's sitting in the room, and in the next room he's going to get the hadoo, can he say, I've repented to Allah, I will never pay?
Yeah, he should,
really?
Actually. He should.
And the government has to let him go?
No, they have to cut off his hand.
So what's the difference?
The difference is repentance cannot take place when the government already get the person. You get it? When the had already reached the government, it has to be afflicted.
Okay.
Must be afflicted. Repentance doesn't work here. That's why he said, when he took that person to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at what was taken from him by that person. He said, the hand of this person has to be cut off. He said, Ya Rasulullah, because of my garment, he's going to lose his hand? He said, yes. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I forgive. He said, why didn't you forgive him before he come to me? So when the case reached the government, then the public interest is bigger than the personal interest.
Oh.
Government has to take action. We tell him, we appreciate your repentance, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you and accept it from you, but punishment has to be applied on you. You know. So somebody repented, he used to be a thief, but now he's a good person. There are many scholars, great scholars among the muhaddithin who used to be really bad. But then they repented. Abdullah ibn Maslama ibn Qanab al-Qanabi, very great scholar, very big and great scholar. When he met Shu'bah, you know, ibn Hajjaj al-Wasati, Amir al-Mu'minin fil Hadith, his one is Ayah in Hadith. He met him, and he was a very bad person in the community. He was very rude to Shu'bah, very rude to Shu'bah. He asked people, who is this? They told him, this is Muhaddith. He asked, what is Muhaddith? Alladhi yuhaddith bi hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he pushed people, he went to Shu'bah and he told them, ma ant, what is you? I'm going to go literally, but he meant, who are you? But you can see even the word he is choosing, you know, shows disrespect. Dealing with a gangster. And he talked very rudely, telling him, what are you doing? What is your job? He said, hadith an-Nabi. He said, we will never leave this place before you tell me a hadith. You deal with, you know, muhaddithin like this? And a person like Shu'bah? Shu'bah, they even mentioned that he and Abdurrahman bin Mahdi, when people see them, they used to run away from them. Because if you do a mistake next to them and they talk negatively about you, this injury they're causing you cannot be healed throughout your life. So people are scared of their comments. They run away. They're very great and respectable people from in the community. And subhanAllah, hikmat al-ulama. Shu'bah did not smack him or ask people to take care of him, you know. But he gave him what he deserved. He told him, you have to tell me a hadith. He says, no worries. I will tell you one. He says, حَدَّثَنَا فُولَانْ عَنْ فُولَانْ عَنْ فُولَانْ أَنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالْ إِنَّ مِمَّا أَدْرَكَ النَّاسُ مِنْ كَلَامِ النُّبُوَّةِ الْأُولَى إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. It is part of what people got, the balance of what remains with us from the previous prophecies, that if you don't have shyness, do whatever you want. I mean, he's saying this hadith to who?
The criminal.
To that person who is a criminal at that time. SubhanAllah, you know that hadith work on him. He understood the message. And he asked, who is the best person to learn? They told him to go to Imam Malik. He rushed to go and meet Malik or somebody in Medina, I can't remember. So he went, he stayed in that place. You know, SubhanAllah, by the time he came back, to meet Shu'bah, Shu'bah already died. That's why they said this is the only hadith he got from Shu'bah. But the point is, you know, the message reached him and he became righteous. Can we say, oh, Abdullah ibn Maslama ibn Qanab al-Qanabi used to be a bad person and then now he has to submit himself to the government? No, nobody says this. No matter how much bad is a person when he repents and he fixes himself, this is what we want. Otherwise, if the government is going to act in this way, nobody will repent. Because he knows even if he repents, government is going to bring him and get him into trouble. Yeah. So we don't do that. When they repent, we encourage them. Unless if he has a right of others over him, then he has to pay those rights. Or he killed somebody and the government have been looking for him. Even after repentance, that right of those people is still intact. Yeah. We have to ask them whether they forgive. If they don't forgive, we establish the had on him. Yeah. Get it, Adam?
Yes.
Allah grant us good.
Salam. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. I have two questions, if you would allow it. Al-Bayhaqi, rahimahullah, has a book called Al-Qadha'i wal-Qadr. Yeah. Do you recommend it?
Yeah, inshallah. As for somebody who is in the beginning level, I'm not talking about you. I know you were a mufti of Thailand, you know, but talking, anyone who wants to study Qadr, start. Slowly, yeah. Books written by contemporary scholars, you know, Qadr. You know, Thaymin has a lot. He has a small book also, Risala fi Qadr. Yeah, that's good. To begin with those ones, at least it gives you a good background on how to deal with the bigger matters. Because trust me, issue of Qadr is very dangerous. It's a red line. Yeah, very dangerous to get involving those matters. And that's why we just have to limit ourselves to the surface. Going deep might take a person out of Jaddah. The vast majority of the deviation, if not all of them, are related to Qadr. You know, the deviation of the Firaq, most of them, if not all of them, are related to Qadr. Is Martaun Sa'ab, 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 Jidd. And Alhamdulillah, what is needed from us is very simple, very little, you know. Studying those, inshallah, books are okay. Any person who happened to be a righteous person, great scholar of ours, their book, Bi'idhnillahi Ta'ala, a student of knowledge to study. Either a person is in the beginning stage, I will never recommend him studying Qadr alone. He must have a scholar that is guiding him. Or a person who is really a student of knowledge, well rooted in the studying, then this one can study everything because he knows how to deal with the matters. Get it? He sees knowledge, he sees the text, rather than seeing the person himself. And he knows how to understand. He has a good background that helps him to differentiate between right and wrong. You know, Allah grant is good. The second question is,
Sheikh, is it all right if we ignore the topic of Qadar when we're studying Aqidah?
No, it's not.
Because it's going to confuse.
It's not. It's not right to ignore Qadr. I teach Qadr. What I say here, I will not say, what I say here, I will not say it on the mimbar. Because mimbar, you have everyone is there. Layman, people who are not understanding, you're going to confuse people and bring a doubt in their life. You get it? And there are some specific class that you have, which really, 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 and you are dealing with student of knowledge. Do you get it? Those ones you engage in discussing everything with them. Yeah, that place you bring heavy masail. Masail which are very tough, which you engage in a debate for days. You and them. Because you know nobody will get confused. And they will go out bi-idhnillahi ta'ala with the correct understanding. And through that you are trying to establish a system, you know, with them, you know, so that they will be able to deal with these matters by themselves in the future. Because they are going to meet things which you don't see them. This is how it is, Yusuf. You teach right. Your students, if they are serious, trust me, they are going to see things which you might not, you do not see. If they are really student of knowledge, because they are going to get what you have and expand their knowledge also outside. Yeah. That's all, Mazin. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Last question, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Allah.
The same way that he killed himself forever.
I'd like to ask if this is applicable to the Muslims too.
The Muslim? Yeah. Actually, we're talking about the Muslim, you know, because the kuffar, the kufr is more than enough to take them to hell forever and ever. That's why they say, La dhanba ba'd al-kufr. There is no sin after kufr. And of course, there is sin, but they mean, a kafir who drinks wine, and you are talking about his drinking of wine. That's it doesn't make sense at all, you know. Which one is bigger, kufr? You know? If he's a kafir, what do you expect from him? Yeah. So these nusus we are talking about Muslimin. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, anyone among the Muslimin, because a kafir, his kufr will take him to hell forever, whether he commits suicide or not, it doesn't matter. But a Muslim who takes knife, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qatala nafsahu bi hadidatin." As in Sahih Bukhari, فَحَدِيدَتُهُ فِي يَدِهِ يَجَأُ بِهَا بَطْنَهُ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Whoever stabbed himself with a knife, his knife will remain in his hand, and he will be stabbing himself in hell forever and ever. وَمَنْ تَحَسَّى سُمَّنَ. Whoever drinks poison, and he kills himself with the poison, فَسُمُّهُ فِي يَدِهِ. Allah will give him the same poison, or a poison in hell. He will be taking the poison in hell forever and ever. وَمَنْ تَرَدَّى مِنْ جَبَلٍ. And whoever throw himself from a mountain and killed himself, Allah will create a mountain in hell. He will be throwing himself inside hell forever. He said, خَالِدًا مُخَلِّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا. In Sahih Bukhari, he said, مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ بِشَيْءٍ عُذِّبَ بِهِ فِي نَرْ جَهَنَّمْ. Whoever kills himself with something, he will be punished with it on the day of judgment. So even the Muslims, when they do that, then we say, نُسُوسُ الْوَعِيدِ, we keep them in the way they are. The scholar said, نُمِرُّهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ. We let them pass in the way they come. You don't tell a normal person in society that there is an explanation to this hadith. Just tell him suicide can take a person to hell forever, and he do not lie. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. However, if you are in a class where there is a focus in terms of learning, the student of knowledge is there, then you tell them it depends on the belief of that person who is killing himself. If he believes that suicide is halal, then when he dies through the suicide, this one is kafir. He goes to hell forever and ever. But somebody who is depressed, he thinks there is no value in life. So he killed himself. This is similar to taking a life and killing another person. Both of them are killing a soul. Yet we don't say he is going to hell forever because he doesn't believe that this is halal. But he's just tired of life, he just killed himself. He still go to hell. But there is a possibility of Allah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. You get it? But he goes. We say he goes to hell. But this is just in the classroom when you talk to the student of knowledge, you deal with this nusus like that. Allah says, وَمَنْ عَادَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. When he talks about riba, he says, whoever goes back to taking riba, he goes to hell forever and ever and ever. He says forever. إِلَى الْأَبَدْ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. He will remain in hell. Eating riba, is it kufr?
No,
it's not. بِنَسِّدْ sunnah. It's not kufr. But how is it the ayah says he will go to hell forever? That's why the scholar said, نُسُسُ الْوَعِيدْ. We leave them in the way they are. When you're translating them, keep them like that. Keep quiet. Unless if you're dealing with a student of knowledge who wants explanation, then you go back to the ayah, to the hadith, then you can get the better and the best understanding of that. You see, if you look at that ayah, the ayah is talking about al-istihlal from the beginning. وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Right? So that's why he said, وَمَنْ عَادَ, the scholar said, وَمَنْ عَادَ إِلَى اسْتِحْلَالِ الرِّبَى, the one who goes back to validating and making riba halal. فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. These are the people who will be going to hell, and they will remain in hell forever. Not the one who takes riba out of following desire, and he knows that riba is haram, he believes that it's haram, but he just takes because he cannot fight his desire. Right? This is a person who is committing one of the worst type of sins that are ever committed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how we look at these nusus. So it is for the Muslims themselves. Yeah, but you just say it to the community and keep quiet, so that nobody will go and commit suicide. Because if you reduce the impact, trust me, tomorrow somebody will say, oh, as long as I will be forgiven, why not? You have losers like this, who thinks he can go to hell for transit, as long as he will go to paradise later, it's okay. And then he will go and get into trouble, because hell, nobody can stay in hell for a second. But subhanAllah, some people, they are so prodigal, you know. The brain is not, you know, at the capacity to understand things by themselves. We need to think for them. Yeah, we need to think for them. So that's why Nususul Wa'id, when the Prophet ﷺ threatened the best, when he talked to the awam, just say what he said and keep quiet. When he asks you, but is it, tell him Rasulullah ﷺ said this, and then leave it. That's why they said Abdullah ibn Mas'ud or Abdullah ibn Abbas, somebody came to him and he told him, if a person killed somebody, can he repent? He looked at him, he said no. And then he left. Another person came later and he said, Ya Abdullah, if a person killed somebody else, not himself, last time I said himself, if a person killed another person, can he repent? He said no. Later on, somebody else came and he told him, Ya Abdullah, Ya Sheikh, if a person killed another person, can he repent? He looked at him, he said yes. And then the student were confused. How come the same question, the same way they phrased the question, but two different answers? He said, yes, because I see that person from his eyes. I can read that this person did not kill yet. He wants to know, if I kill, is there any way out or not? If I tell him yes, what is he going to do? Ala barakatillah. Just kill him, and then Allahumma gfirli dhunubi kullaha dikkaha wa jillaha. Again, that's why, wallahi, scholars and the student of knowledge have to be really smart in this regard. Yeah, understand the circumstance and the situation, you know. And that person, he says, based on the way he is asking, I can see the regret that this person already killed. He wants to know, is there any way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can accept me? He told him, yes, he can repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? So these are the scholars and the way they have their own approach. Somebody told him, can I kiss my wife if I'm fasting? He said no. He looked at him, he said no. Another person also asked later, maybe another day, can a person kiss his wife when he's fasting? He looked at him, he said yes. Two different answers. They asked him why. He said because that first one was a very fresh young boy, young man. And he's telling me, can he kiss his wife? Yeah, when you tell him yes, what happens after that? Second fatwa the next day. Wallahi, I couldn't control myself, and I just depend on the opinion that says it's okay. And now, so what next? Yeah, because he ended up having a relationship with his spouse, and then come and ask what to do now. What put him into this trouble? Your fatwa, the fatwa. Yeah, that's why Aisha, when she said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to kiss his wife while he's fasting, she said, you guys should know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam controlled his desire more than you. Yeah, a person should be very careful. It's halal, halal. You know, I'm saying this here also is halal. The person should understand what he does. You get it? You do it in a way, you, it will provoke your desire. The minimum you get is to reduce the value of your fast. But the last person who asked, it was an old man. You get it? That one, when he kissed his wife, the kissing is for what? Mercy, right? The first one, kadhab, if he tells you this is just a mercy, bro, showing to his wife, he is kadhab. But the second one, yes, this one is for mercy, because usually old people, they lost the desire with them. Is that clear, inshallah? So this is a very good manhaj. Please do take this whenever you're approaching that wamun nas. Don't lie to anyone, but we have nusus, inshallah, that you can keep them with, and they will keep them behaving well with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq in this dunya and the akhirah. Innahu bika. Still?
Yeah. Another question, sir. For the male gender, sir, is it considered as ill treatment to the parents if you do not inform them about your marriage?
For the?
The male gender, the men.
For the?
Men.
Ah, Rajul, the voice doesn't come to me. For the man,
Is it considered as ill treatment to the parents if you do not inform them about your marriage?
You not inform them?
Yeah.
About your marriage. I mean, the person married and he did not inform his, that's a cook. Allah, that's a cook. And it's very wrong for a person to marry, because marriage is a big event in the life of a person. His parents should know about that. And I know in most instances this is the fault of the parent, but you shouldn't correct a mistake with another mistake. It's better to inform them. At least they know that a person married, if he is in a state of necessity, he knows that if he did not marry, he will commit zina. Then he can just ignore their acceptance and go and marry, no problem. But he told them that he's going to marry. You know. But if he can be patient, I will always advise a person to be patient, not to marry if the parents are not interested in that marriage at that moment. Keep on pressuring them in a nice way until they agree. We have a lot of circumstances where the person resists so much, and at the end of the day, the parent accept. Because trust me, that miskina you're going to marry, she's going to suffer a lot. She might be happy, now we got married, but in the future, she will suffer. She will be psychologically punished when she knows that your parents don't like her and they don't want to see her. What kind of marriage is this when I cannot come back with my family to my parents? Yawallah. Now I will see it nice, but in the future, when the marriage is normal, you know, a relationship between you and your spouse is normal, then you'll be looking, you know, back to go and make the connection to your root. And nobody accepts you. They don't accept her, they don't accept you. Or they accept you, but they don't accept her. Imagine you bring your wife and your mother doesn't want to meet her. How is your wife going to look at your mother? She needs a lot, you know, to be convinced that you are the good person for her to stay. Yeah, she will be depressed in her life. That's why sabr. It's very good and excellent for you to provide a space for your wife with your parent. Yeah, she needs that respect. When she goes to her, you know, she is shy of them and they are shy of her. She respects them, they're respecting her more than the way she's respecting them. Allah, your relationship between you and her will be increased. You have a good wife in the life. That will impact, you know, her relationship with you. May Allah grant us good. And those people who are not married, may Allah help them to make tawbah and marry, inshallah. Okay. Subhanakallah. Adam, you want me to change my word? Subhanakallah wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.